from KMUW Wichita,
from Toronto, Ontario,
and from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk stress relief. If everyone else's little language mistakes raise your blood pressure, we're here to tell you you can relax, because they might not actually be wrong. Well, some of them are. Look, sometimes it's fuzzy. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, and joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hey there, Kathy Petras, at your home in Armenia, Spain. How's Armenia today, Kathy?
Armenia's become like fall-like, and I'm not used to it. I'm wearing long sleeves and long pants. This is shocking.
Ross, are the leaves lovely and changing there in Toronto?
Oh, yeah, it's been really nice. It's getting a little cooler. I have a little light sweater on. Mm-hmm. Leaves are turning. It's really pretty.
It is. We're getting nice, bright red leaves around here in some places.
I love that. I just love the turning of fall. I really do.
Another thing we love, listener emails, and we've gotten plenty of those lately, so thank you all for keeping those coming. And we wanted to jump off into today's episode with one or two of those.
It was an email we got from Abigail in Washington State. I love this first line, which says, I love the podcast, especially because I can correct my family members on trivial English things. It's like, we're with you, Abigail. We understand. So then she asked, she said, can y'all help me settle a dispute, between me and my sister? Y'all might have already done a segment or podcast on this, but I couldn't find anything doing a quick search. Recently, my sister and I were driving, and she started talking about a car a few cars up the road from us, saying, this car is a slow driver. I corrected her, saying it would be that car because it's further away, and that this car would be referring to the one right in front of us. This got us into a whole argument about whether this and that work differently in a sentence or not. Abigail is like us, I think.
I have two things to say about that really quickly. One, it's interesting that apparently she used y'all a couple of times in that email.
I noticed that too.
Even though she's from Washington State, maybe not originally. But we've talked a little bit about how much terms like y'all have spread completely around the country and they're no longer just regional. Mm. The other thing is, since I'm a complete weirdo, I've absolutely thought about this before, this and that in sentences and proximity. And I don't know that I have really strong opinions, but I'm glad to learn that there are other people who think about weirdo things like this. Thank you, Abigail.
And actually, Kathy and I thought quite a bit about this. And to a great degree, we agree with Abigail. This does indeed refer to things closer to you. And that is used to point to singular things that are farther away. But, and this is where we got into a little bit of a discussion, the point is that this can also refer to things that are close to you intellectually or in your head. And that can be refer to things farther in your head. Basically, everything here is relative. So like this car could have meant really actually we have two things. This car could be referring to something she's thinking about right now, i.e. this car I'm thinking about and that car. And therefore, if the car is two cars ahead, it doesn't make any difference because she's this in that sense. Or to even be more quibbly about the whole thing,
why we're here.
It could also mean this car is the car two cars ahead and that car is the car five cars ahead. So in that case, this is relatively closer, and therefore it's correct, even though it's referring to a car further away than you thought it would be. But in general, we agree with her. This refers
to things.
Yeah,
We would say that car, not this car.
Yeah, exactly.
We would.
But I think it is interesting because that's the problem with language. A lot of it is very relative. You kind of go, well, in a way it's true, in a way it's not.
That's really interesting to think about sort of the abstract version of the car that exists in her head could be this car, even though it's a couple of cars up in actual physical proximity. That's interesting. One thing you wouldn't say, though, is this car if you meant two cars ahead and that car if you meant one car ahead, right?
Very good, Fletcher. You're right. Unless, though, maybe even there you're thinking about this car in the set. Let's don't go there. Let's moving right along.
I guess the real point here is that Abigail can at least feel a little superior over her sister, right? a little.
Oh, I think clearly.
Well, so. We think she can. Yeah. But just don't let her sister know that we said that. I mean, isn't that the whole point of knowing these things? A little superiority.
A little bit.
Anyway, we're going to move on now to the things we think are wrong but aren't. Or are they? This is typical Ross and Kathy. Here we go.
There's no definite answer? What? From you guys?
So, Fletcher, we're going to start by reading two sentences, and we're going to see if you can tell us if they're correct or not, or if it matters.
Okay.
First sentence. Fletcher, the baseball phenomenon, hit more than 200 home runs this season.
Goodness gracious.
Or Fletcher, the baseball phenomenon, hit over 200 home runs this season.
I'm sorry, Russ. Was phenom was the term.
I like to say phenomena because we're being very correct here. Hyper correct.
I didn't know that people even thought about a distinction here until I took, I think it was like a copy editing class at school at some point. And I learned that in newspapers, at least, they prefer, this is a little weird now that I think about it, but they prefer it to be more than if you're talking about numbers of things. I guess because over could mean you're like flying over it.
Okay, that's a good point, Fletcher. So now let's do another sentence and see what you're going to tell us here. Fletcher Mountain is more than 2,000 feet high, or Fletcher Mountain is over 2,000 feet high.
Okay, so I guess in answering this, I'll realize that I didn't completely finish my thought from before, which is that ever since I learned that, I pretty much always say more than if I'm talking about a number of something. And just because whatever, that copy editing infected my brain. In the grand scheme of things, I don't think it matters. And in this case, I don't think it matters either, because the mountain is also not floating. It's not over. You know, there's not, I don't think there's any ambiguity by saying over in this case either.
I agree with you. And this is where the rule is so stupid. And I think we should basically throw it away. But the idea is you should use more than to describe a greater amount, as we were talking about. But when you're talking about space, spatial dimensions, it's over. So it should be the mountain is over 2,000 feet high,
well,
technically.
No, but I have to interject. That was technically, I mean, even now, it's what Fletcher said. You're getting over it. And even the AP style book says they're both more than over interchangeable. And the Chicago Manual style ditched it a long time ago. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying. I mean, I think those are the most ridiculous rule ever, I think. Well, not the most ridiculous. One of the most. Let's agree and ignore it.
Yeah, I think we can ignore it. I will admit to changing it pretty much every time I read news copy. But that, like I said, that's just because that class infected my brain. It's not really it's not even like a personal opinion at this point. It's just something I do because that's what happened.
The next one is related. And we've talked about it. We got an email from Hal from New York who asked if we've ever addressed this. And yes, we have, Hal, but never mind. We're going to do it again. And he said, should I get irritated when I see the term less used when it should be fewer?
Mm.
And we have talked about it. It's like we said, okay, you're in the supermarket and you see the express line, the sign says 10 items or less. Or you're in the grammatically fancy supermarket, has a sign 10 items or fewer.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so our question to you, we've talked about this. Should Hal be irritated? Are they both right? Are they both wrong? One of them's right. What's up?
The reality is that they're both fine.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Hal, go ahead and get irritated.
That is so funny, Fletcher, because I have that exact same sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it makes any difference, but I always use fewer when it's a countable thing. I mean, except with certain exceptions. But at the same time, to be very nuanced here, when I see a supermarket thing, 10 items or less sounds better to me, even though I would say I have fewer than 10 items.
Yep.
I would go, I'm going to go in the 10 items or less line because I have fewer than 10 items. That's what I would say.
I would 100% say exactly that same thing.
I love it.
But you know what? I can make a little bit of a case for that. 10 items or less, like that is a statement of like this bulk thing. 10 items, that is the thing that you have. It is one thing. It is 10 items. Or less than that, right? less than that thing.
See, that's always what I thought, because you're not really saying 10 items or less. You're saying 10 items or less than 10 items, which is perfectly correct.
Yeah, I like you guys on that. That's a good one.
But I'm totally really with you. Good. That was I've never thought about it exactly like you said, Ross. But I'm going in the 10 items or less line because I have fewer than 10 items. I love it.
I know.
But yeah, another one that I guess people need to relax about, even if I can't personally relax about it.
Do you remember, Ross, when it was? Because I have here in my notes that the rule seems to have originated with a particular critic, Robert Baker. Do you know when it was?
Robert Baker. I'm going to quickly look it up.
Because it's like we have the right. But just tell us off the top of your head, Ross, after you've looked it up.
Oh, Kathy, wait a minute. Something that just came into my head. It was a grammarian Robert Baker in 1770.
Ah, okay.
In his book, Reflections on the English Language. Oh, wow. His book is great. Reflections on the English Language. In the nature of Vauglas' remarks on the French, being a detection of many improper expressions used in conversation and of many others to be found in authors, to which is prefixed a discourse addressed to His Majesty.
I don't mean anything rudely to Robert Baker, but I think he should like learn to be a little tighter when he writes.
You guys want to hear the quote?
Yes, please.
This word is most commonly used in speaking of a number, where I think he's talking about less. Less is most commonly used in speaking of a number where I should think fewer would be better. No fewer than 100 appears to me not only more elegant though than no less than 100, but more strictly proper. That's the rule. That's not a rule. That's a statement.
You know what? There is no easier and quicker way to get me to completely reject some pedantic idea I have than to tell me that some jerk a few hundred years ago thought it looked better, and that's why we do it. Like, no, forget you, man.
Take it on the arches, Baker.
All those things I held dear, forget about it. If it was one guy who said, "Let's do it this way because I like it better," now
we're with you.
Oh, just one quick thing. There are also some exceptions to this rule, anyway.
Oh, you don't say.
I was interesting because, like, less than 3 miles, I would never say fewer than 3 miles.
Yeah.
Even though automatically. So, I mean, it was sort of interesting. Even there, you see the ridiculousness of it. But it did stick into our heads to some degree. We three of us can't help it.
I also wouldn't say it cost fewer than $50.
No. Moving along, is it acceptable to spell a lot? A-L-O-T without a separation between the A and the L.
Yeah, somebody emailed us about this relatively recently.
Yeah, that's okay, because we put this in and I couldn't find the emails. So
yeah.
Whoever it was, we appreciate your writing.
Yes, thank you very much.
The problem we appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, a lot. The problem is we can't search our email inboxes for a lot because everybody writes it this way now. So, yeah, I mean, me personally, I don't care. And I'll bet just about anybody younger than I am doesn't care either. I get why it might bother people, sort of like all right turning into one word, but that doesn't bother me either, frankly.
Well, if you just wait 3 minutes or so, we're going to ask you that.
Here I am jumping the gun again. What do you guys think? Does it bother you? I mean, I can't. It must have been incorrect, of course, at some point, but it's changed so much. I can't imagine it still is incorrect.
It's still incorrect.
Is it?
Merriam-Webster says it's incorrect.
Okay.
And Merriam-Webster is the best bellwether because they're very quick to add, you know, things as acceptable or they don't even have it as non-standard. They don't.
But oddly enough for me, it unlike you, Fletcher, it bothers me. I don't like it for some reason. I'm not going to have a fit and like shoot the person for being wrong, but I don't particularly like it. What do you think, Kath?
I'm with you, and I think it's an age thing. I don't know what it is. I cannot abide it.
No.
It's so minor. And I see it constantly. I mean, you do a search online. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in major magazines and newspapers. I mean, it's there, and it's there, it's present, and people are using it not only in social media, I mean, you know, journalists, et cetera, and I don't like it. I really don't.
I don't either. I don't know what it is about it. The word itself looks ugly to me for some reason. I think maybe because a lot, you know, is in allotting something would be A-L-L-O-T. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense, though, because already.
I was thinking the same thing. I thought, well, is that why? It doesn't, I don't know.
I would never write a lot as one word, But I also don't really think that I even notice it much when I see it as one word.
It's interesting, though. I had seen, I don't remember where it was, someone explaining it in a different way. And they're saying, it's like, then you should do a little, A-L, you know, one word, a little, a big, a fat, a cool, a bad.
I love that.
And I thought that's just, that maybe that's why it bothers us, Ross, because it's not the same as a broad or above or ahead. It's different.
That is really good, Kat.
Yeah.
That's a big A-B-I-G.
I mean, I guess, but like a lot is still kind of an idiom, isn't it? I mean, lot, you're talking about like a lot full of things, right?
Yeah.
So why does it need to be consistent with something like a little? I mean, the lot, it's like a noun, right? It's like a bucket full, right? It's a lot.
I see what you're saying, but I disagree with you anyway. No, I think it's a really reasonable, succinct, and germane idea, but it's wrong anyway. Sorry.
But let's just forget.
I'm not going to argue in favor of using it, but I do think, well, I think it's changing or changed, and I think most people my age or younger wouldn't even think one thing or another about it.
In your defense, I mean, it does come like from the idea of falling to a person by lot, is what you're saying, you know, the noun. So I do see what you're saying there as a lot of things. This doesn't come from like Kathy, you know, Kathy's explanation of a big or whatever.
Though, then I'm going to take it a little step further with my explanation, which I'm now going to have to like disown. Because by the same token, you don't, there are other ones. We do a while is one word.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So why isn't it a while?
Well, I think Fletcher has convinced us that we should accept
the law. Or an other. You don't say an other. You say another.
Another. No, I think, Fletcher, you've convinced us that it's acceptable intellectually. Mm-hmm. I think both of us still have a, you know, a personal prejudice that, you know.
I'm starting to spell it that way.
I'm exclusively spelling it that way from now on.
Yeah, right. I'm making my stand. Is it all right to spell all right, A-L-L-R-I-G-H-T, can you spell it A-L-R-I-G-H-T, one word?
Probably not, but like a lot, like a lot, and maybe even more than a lot, it is becoming fine and it will be in the future. And if people are bothered by that, then they're going to have to get over it.
You're absolutely right, I think.
All right.
It is included in Merriam-Webster and the OED. As spelled as one word, but they could. It's not recommended for professional writing, formal writing. It's informal, but as far as we're concerned, it's still non-standard. But it's caught on so quickly. I don't think I don't think it's a big deal anymore. I still correct it. I mean, yeah, I do.
I do too. But
can I tell you why it's a little bit persuasive to me that one word is okay? It's because of the spelling change. Dropping that L and making it into A-L-R-I-G-H-T. I mean, like, it's just created a new word. I mean, it means the exact same thing as all right, two words, but that spelling change really is really persuasive to me as, you know, it's just the creation of a new word.
That is really interesting, Fletcher. I think that's a very, really good point.
Well, I mean, the thing that gets me, though, is, I mean, we have altogether spelled with the one L. Mm-hmm. We have already spelled with the unwell. The one L. So it's logical. I mean, it's a logical extension.
Yep. Yeah, it's following a pattern and it's just going on with that, which I think lends credence to Fletcher's idea that this is going to be completely acceptable in like 20 years or something.
Oh, I think. Oh, yeah.
7 years. Yeah. Trust me.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one. Starting a sentence with and, but, or we're going to get to later ones.
Do
so.
It.
Is this acceptable or not?
Do it. Do it all the time. Yeah, I do it. I do it all the time. And I love it.
It is acceptable completely.
And no one even, this one's interesting because no one even knows where this idea came from. And one really enterprising scholar finally found out what he thinks is the original source. A guy called George Washington Moon wrote a book in 1868, The Bad English of Lindley Murray and Other Writers on the English Language. And that's where the idea came from.
I love these titles that they had for their books back then.
I know. No, Mr. Moon was a little prolix in his titles as well. And I think he was really wrong. And it's a really annoying, it's an annoying dictum.
Yeah.
And I think the interesting thing about this also, though, is someone else has said that it could have been picked up later by school teachers in the later 1800s and the early 1900s and basically saying, don't start every sentence with mm-hmm. and. They're right, but you can't start some.
I also think, I mean, Moon himself, I'm looking at more that he wrote, he was referring to a specific writer mm-hmm. Who penned lectures on the English language, and he said it wasn't scholarly right. to begin with it. And I actually see that because, I mean, I do it because I like it because it's casual.
Yep.
It is mm-hmm. not formal, and that's the reason I like it. When I write, I prefer to be kind of like I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. So I actually see his point. I mean, I do think it just got blown out of proportion.
Yeah, I think so completely. But I have no problem with it. I just began a sentence with but as well. But I have no problem with it. And I think it's fine to do it. So let's move on. So.
Well done. Well done.
This was another email we got about starting sentences with a so. And I apologize yet again to that other writer. And I was unable to find it. But thank you for writing. And we're addressing your question finally. Can you start a sentence with so?
Was this email talking about how so many people will begin like answering a question with so, where you say, mm-hmm. tell me about the sanitation system in your city? The person will say, so the way it works mm-hmm. is blah, blah, blah. Is that's the sort of thing this person was talking about?
I believe that's what it was. They were saying, have you noticed more usage of this yeah. was the gist of it.
Here we go. We have two different usages of so actually in that sense. One case is a normal beginning with, you know, and, but, or so, as we were talking about. The other one is, so I'm going to, and that seems to be referring backwards to, basically, I'm going to give you the background to what I'm saying right now. And some people say that came from tech talk, I've heard.
I don't know where it came from. That kind of makes sense that it's sort of, I'm going to give you the background or I'm going to tell you some things before I tell you this thing. Mm-hmm. It's also, you know, we had an episode on this specifically, the entire episode, and this was mm-hmm. a number of years ago now, but specifically about people beginning the sentences with so, mm-hmm. because people were doing it, have been doing it so much, I absolutely do it. And I think a lot of it is giving a feeling of comfort and mm-hmm. and familiarity with somebody, almost as if you're saying mm-hmm. I'm inviting you into this part of my, you know, this end of the conversation now, or what I'm going to say now. You're almost inviting somebody in when you say so blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I agree. It's like sit down, pull up a chair, let's chat. I agree mm-hmm. with you. Mm-hmm. I really do. I like that.
Hey, I've got a little, I just thought of it. I have a little etymological question for the two of you. Can you tell me why so and the word to, T-W-O, are related? Or what do they have in common?
They have an O in them.
They do. That's actually that's a start. Do you want to know, or should I be boring and tell you or not?
Absolutely.
So used to be written and spelled swa, S-W-A. To used to be written in Old English, T-W-A. What happened was the sound, the A sound, swa and twa, the A sound gradually changed to an open vowel sound, two and swo. And then the W's merged, so it became two and a different kind of O, so. And in one case, the W completely disappeared from the written. Two, even though you see T-W-O, you don't pronounce it two, you just pronounce
yeah.
it two.
That's
isn't
interesting.
That cool?
Wow. I know that.
And then I'm going to tell you some other little fun thing I just saw. Whatever, you know, people say whatever like that. Mm-hmm. If you were in Old English, you'd go swa what swa.
But going back to this, what fascinates me in general with so is the fact that so many people are either complaining about it or saying like this must be wrong, and it's just been around forever, and mm-hmm. no one really started minding, it seems, until recently.
I think though the so is the back thing. Is more recent. The beginning with conjunctions, I think, has been sort of a basic, and so
we walk on down the road.
Yeah.
As opposed to so we walk down the road and see, I actually go back to I use so constantly.
Yep.
I mean talking and writing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to some degree, I use it as a filler. I'm not going to die. When I'm speaking, I use it to, you know, like, well, I'm thinking desperately. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I think that we're dealing with two objections here, I said. Like, we're dealing with the conjunction objection, which we're basically dismissing. And then we're dealing with the new so objection, which is that backy thing, which
we're also
I don't object to either.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
I have no problem with any of these. Okay. Every day, using every day one word to mean every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say every day I sing in the shower, it's an everyday occurrence. Spell right. The two every days here for me.
Right. The first one, every day I sing in the shower is two words.
Right.
The second one, it's an everyday occurrence, is one word.
Right. And I hope you have a good voice singing in the shower. Don't listen to me singing in the shower. I'll say that right now.
So
you got it right.
When it's an adjective, it's one word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
Oh, I like the distinction. It does bother me a little bit when I see people write every day when they mean two words every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because it's a noun every day. Well, it's a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, now the question, though, is, now there are exceptions, of course, to the rule. And this is like we go back to anywhere is an adverb. Go anywhere. It's also a noun,
mm-hmm.
right? You can find it anywhere. And it's spelled, it's not anywhere, ever. It's anywhere,
no,
right?
It's not. But what about someday? If I say someday, you know, someday I will go to visit Ross in Canada, would you write that as two words or one word?
One word.
Would you?
Yeah, because it's a future time.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you do it as two words when you go, well,
Someday I will, like, when would you write it as two words? And why is
someday
this different from every day?
Someday is an indefinite time in the future. One of these days I'm going to do it.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm getting confused because someday refers to one day. Oh, here it is. Someday is like an indefinite time. We have no idea. Some whatever. Someday refers to one day that we don't yet know. Okay,
so
but it's a specific day.
So someday, one word, really is sometime.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
And someday is a specific day we're going to do this.
A specific someday.
Right.
So,
right.
Now I'm thinking of sometime, right? Sometime, you do the same thing, don't you? Sometime.
I wish you hadn't thought this, Kat. I'm trying to think it out. I think you're right. You're right. Because
sometime
is at some point in the future.
And sometime
or in the past or whatever.
Is a time period, right?
Yeah.
Sometime.
And then sometimes is like, you know, occasionally or whatever.
Let's not even talk about that one. That doesn't exist.
I know. It was just amazing.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petrus records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petrus from his home in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music, and our digital team is Beth Golay, Kate Hutchins, and Carly Cooper. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetrus@gmail.com. You can also email us a voice memo of you asking it your question. You might get your voice heard on air. If you'd like to do the same thing by downloading the KMUW app, you can do that and just click the Talk to Us button. You can find all of Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.